Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God which engages us this day is the last verse of the lesson that was read previously, Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, where Jesus says, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Thus far the text. Dear friends in Christ, there were two professors who taught here in the 1970s and 1980s whose names shall remain anonymous, but for whose classes you better have been prepared if you entered. They taught in the Department of Exegetical Theology, and if you entered their classroom unprepared to translate the assigned text, it was not a pretty sight if they called on you. They wouldn't move on to the person who was prepared. Oh no, they would stay right there with the unprepared student. They might go to other students to identify noun and verb forms, but they stayed with that unprepared student as he fumbled and bumbled his way through the translation. Word got out before long that if you had these two professors, you better always be prepared and always be ready, because you never knew when they were going to call on you. Well, Jesus wants to get across that very same idea in our text for today, concerning a day much more important than any one class day, the day when he will return to judge between the living and the dead, as we confess in the Creed, the day when we will join all of humanity and stand before the judgment seat of God. And in our text for today, Jesus has several points that he wants to teach concerning that day. The first being that no one knows when that day will occur except the Father in heaven. Ah, but that has not stopped. Scores of individuals and groups down throughout history from trying to predict exactly when that day is going to occur. In fact, virtually every generation has had at least one prominent individual or prominent group saying that they know exactly when that day is going to occur. For example, in more recent history, Joseph Smith said that it would happen on or before February 15 of 1891. Pat Robertson said it would happen in 1982. David Koresh said it would happen in 1995, and Harold Camping said it would happen, first of all, before September 15 of 1994, and then more recently on October 11th, 2011. But the group that by far takes the cake, so to speak, with making exact predictions about that last day is the Watchtower Society, or the Jehovah's Witnesses. Throughout their history, they predicted that day would come in 1914, 1915, 1918, 1920, 1925, 1941, 1975, and 1994. Obviously, all of those predictions were wrong, as have been the scores of predictions throughout history. In fact, if anyone says or writes that they know the exact hour or day, you know immediately, of course, that they don't know what in the world they are talking about. For Jesus says in our text, concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son, to which we would very quickly and parenthetically add, at least according to his human nature, but only the Father in heaven knows. In addition to no one knowing, Christ also indicates in our text that everything will be rather routine and ordinary and plain leading up to that day. He compares it to what happened just before the flood in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man, he says. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage right up until the day Noah entered the ark, and They were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will it be when the Son of Man returns, says Christ. Everything will seem rather ordinary. Everything will seem rather routine and plain. There won't be any special announcements, no breaking into the radio or television news, no warning sirens sounding. So will it be when the Son of Man returns. And Christ goes even one step further and indicates that he will come back at a time when it is not expected that he will return. He compares it to the element of surprise that a burglar operates with. And of course, a burglar depends on the element of surprise and coming at a time when he is not expected. So will it be when the Son of Man returns. And finally, Christ also teaches in our text that not all will be prepared on that day. He says, two men will be out working in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be working at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Now, we're not told in the text whether it is better to be taken or better to be left. Traditionally, it's been understood that it's better to be taken, but it really doesn't matter. It's clear that not all are taken and not all are left. Thus, not all will be prepared for that day. And so, he will come back at a time that's known only to the Father. Things will seem quite ordinary and routine. In fact, it will be a time we do not expect, and not all will be prepared for that day. What is there then for us to do, except exactly that which Christ admonishes us to do in our text? Therefore, you must be ready, or the true sense of the verb, you must always be ready, you must always be prepared, for the Son of Man comes at a time you do not expect. But in reality, how much do we often think about that day? How often do you think about that day when you will join all of humanity and stand before the judgment seat of God? We are so consumed day in and day out with the busyness of this world that we tend to focus on its routines and its things which seem so very urgent and seem so very important in the here and now. And so we can spend countless hours worrying and being anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow, because what's going to happen tomorrow seems so urgent and so important here and now. And so we can carry a grudge against someone else, because what they did to us seems so very urgent and so very important in the here and now. And so we can covet what other people have, because what they have seems so important in the here and now. And when we consider all the influences that come upon us outside the walls of this chapel, virtually all of them direct our attention to preparing for the here and now, not preparing for what is to come beyond this age. And if we're not careful, we can spend inordinate amount of time and energy and effort focused on the here and now, and not, as Christ says, being ready at all times. That's why the season of Advent and the Word of God that comes to us in Advent is so very important and so very beneficial to all of us. In Advent, God comes to us and proclaims with certainty that Christ will return on the last day to judge between the living and the dead. Scripture never speculates about whether this day is going to occur. It takes it as a matter of fact. And so in Advent, God raises our spiritual perspective from just being focused on the here and now to also include heavenly things. Reminds us of the collect, Lord, help us so to pass through these things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. And in Advent, God comes to us and assures us that he has already done what we ourselves could in no manner do. He has prepared us. He has made us ready to stand before Christ on that last day, clothed in a righteousness that is not our own, but clothed in Christ's own righteousness itself, holy and blameless, without spot or any blemish. In Christ, we are always prepared and always ready for that last day. And what a comfort to know that the very one before whom we will stand on that day is the very same one who has prepared us to stand in his presence on that day. And in the season of Advent, the church waits. The church waits patiently. It doesn't jump ahead to Christmas like the world around us did seemingly back around mid-October sometime. Instead, the church waits patiently, just as it waits patiently for the second coming of Christ, to celebrate that first coming of Christ. Resting assured that even before the foundation of time, God himself was ready, God himself was prepared to redeem his chosen people. And with Paul, we rejoice that when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman born under the law to redeem those under the law. And redeem us, buy us back he did with his blood shed on the cross. And in the season of Advent, Christ continues to come to us in his word proclaimed and in his Holy Supper. What a demonstration to all of us that God himself is always ready and always prepared to forgive us, always ready and always prepared to strengthen us, always ready and always prepared to assure us that in Christ we are his adopted children and have a heavenly inheritance awaiting us. Through the Gates of Splendor is a book and then also a movie depicting the lives of five missionaries who were speared to death in Ecuador back in 1956 at the hands of the Auca Indians. The pilot who led the recovery operation to bring back the bodies of those five slain missionaries tells an incredible story. He says that when the bodies of these five missionaries were recovered, they actually had rifles on them. But these missionaries had vowed that they would never kill an Auca Indian because they reasoned, "We are prepared for heaven. They are not." In those five missionaries, what an incredible example of men who were always prepared and always ready for that great day in the same way that we are, by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, living in the promise that he who has begun this good work in us will bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always ready, always prepared in Christ. Amen.